In 1913, another physicist, a very mild-mannered, very soft-spoken Danish physicist by the name of Niels Bohr, came to England to get his PhD. He comes to the Cavendish Laboratories in England and works for Sir J.J. Thomson, I think it was. And Thomson, who was running the Cavendish Laboratory at that time, had made the early discovery of the electron and had shown that the electron was a particle, blah, blah, blah. We won't worry about that. Anyway, here comes Bohr into the picture. And Bohr is trying to understand how that electron behaves inside of the atom. And the only way that he can come up with a consistent picture is to say that the electron inside of the atom was traveling in some kind of circle, going in a circle, going in a circle, and then suddenly it disappears. Huh? And then it reappears, traveling in another circle. This time, a circle which is closer in towards the nucleus of the atom. Huh? What do you mean? It was, and then it wasn't, and then it was again? What's going on? He called that a quantum jump. And he not only called it a quantum jump, he said it jumped from what was to what could be without going in between. It was Star Trek Transporter, and it really was Star Trek Transporter. That's what was going on. And this was very, very bizarre. Well, you can imagine that this caused a lot of upsets because people don't like things changing discontinuously. They don't like when things change in random ways. They want control, 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 because after all, that's what science was invented for. It was invented so we can get rational, objective control over the universe, and this is not what we were getting here. What we were getting here was just the opposite of that. Now we're moving into the 20s. In the 20s, we also have the appearance of other characters entering on this world stage. Louis de Broglie, who is a French, I think, a count, comes up with the idea that we should think about the electron in Bohr's model of the atom as not a particle moving in a circle, but somehow guided by an invisible wave. And this invisible wave is really responsible for the way the electron behaves. And the electron doesn't actually jump from one orbit to another, but the wave changes frequency like the wave produced by a trombone. As you go, as you bring the trombone thing back and out, the wave changes continuously, the note changes continuously. They thought the atom really was the electron being caught by a trombone wave changing continuously, and that's why the energy change, because the electron was changing in this trombone wave. And this was de Broglie's idea. Well, the wave became very interesting to people. They said, wait a minute, if this is true, how can it be true? Then good old America across the pond jumps into the scene. And two physicists were working for Bell Laboratories at the time, a guy by the name of Davison and another guy by the name of Germer, actually discovered that electrons behaved like waves. They observed what are called diffraction patterns. You see, these guys were not interested in waves or particles or what electrons were. What they were interested in, as most American innovation is concerned with, practical applications of new ideas. They wanted to build something bigger and better telephone, better transmission line, whatever they were working on at the time, they needed to work with the science of materials. I think they were working with nickel and cadmium and some other stuff like that. And they were trying to figure out how this stuff behaves. And they were using what is called electron diffraction, electron X-ray patterns, trying to figure out what happened inside of the metal when they shined electrons on the metal. And what they found was the electrons behaved very much like X-rays, which are radiation patterns of electromagnetic energy and not particles themselves, although photons certainly were known to exist by Max Planck's idea and Albert Einstein's idea. But nevertheless, nobody actually seen the electrons, particles behaving as waves. They've seen waves behaving as particles because light were waves and now they behave as particles. But they never actually saw electrons behaving like waves until Davidson and Germer. Now, when that happened, all hell broke loose across the pond in France and Germany. In fact, when Louis de Broglie first published his thesis, the thesis committee, who hadn't heard about Davidson and Germer yet, said, this idea is so very crazy. We don't know whether we should take it seriously or not. How can particles be waves? They cannot be this way, not at all. So what we should do is ask Albert Einstein. So they said, Mr. Einstein, what do you think? Well, what I think is that actually what we're seeing here is a true picture of the actual reality. So you should take Herr de Broglie very seriously, and you should publish his result. And then, of course, across the pond, we have Davidson and Germer's, and suddenly everybody thinks that electrons aren't little tiny little particles anymore. They're waves. Well, that's how things stood for a while. Waves, particles. Waves, particles. Waves on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Particles on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. And on Sunday, we don't know. That's how it stood for a long time. And then people began to say, this can't be the way things really are. There's got to be another way. We better try to understand what is really going on. And that led into a whole new way of thinking. And that you're going to learn all about in the next session, when we look at, is there an out there, Matilda?
This concludes session 1. Our program continues with session 2, Taking the Quantum Leap.